Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today, and we're coming back to a subject near and dear to my heart, and that, of course, is home education. Having been homeschooled myself back in the 1960s and 1970s, in fact, rounding the 50th year for us, a half a century for me. My mother started homeschooling me back in, 1969 in Portland, Oregon. So the whole thing began in Portland, Oregon for me, and it's been, another generation or two, and we're working on our third generation of homeschoolers now in our family with one of our daughters now with child, so we're excited about that. And so 50 years, three generations, here we go. And as some 60 million kids are coming into a school-at-home situation now, we thought it'd be important to kind of do a review on home education and what's involved. Now, I think a lot of moms and dads are surprised by the efficiency of it. As I was doing intro seminars over the years, or some 20 years with Christian Home Educators of Colorado, a lot of parents were saying, wow, our kids were doing 5 hours of school, 2 hours of homework, 7-8 hours a day, busy, busy, busy. We knocked all that out in 2 hours when we began to homeschool them. And so they're sort of surprised by the efficiency of it. So much of education is babysitting and make work and such. I think people don't realize that the mechanized, centralized, standardized approach to education is just sort of a waste of time for so many. Of course, one-on-one instruction is so basic and so efficient. It pays back in spades. You have any kind of one-on-one and you're going to have a lot of payback for every hour you spend one-on-one. I think every teacher understands this. I taught in public and private schools earlier on in my life, and teaching 1-on-30 is a bit of a hassle, and you don't get as much efficiency as you might if you can put an hour or two into one-on-one instruction, especially as you introduce new material. There's also a constant opportunity for the things that matter most: character honing, faith, reverence for God, the fear of God, life integration and such, these essential elements in the education of a child, absolutely essential elements, largely ignored by institutionalized forms. It's hard to get into these areas in the institutionalized systems. And we would like to see a transition from school at home to a Christian family discipleship approach for the tens of millions of folks that are beginning to spend more time with their kids in the home, given the COVID-19 situation. And we just want to see something of a transition. Of course, that's why Christian Home Educators of Colorado, we used to say there's a reason we are Czech and not Heck. We put the Christian at the beginning of the term Christian Home Educators of Colorado. And, of course, we would love to see that transition towards a Christ-centered, biblically based family discipleship model. In other words, there is something substantially different between the Greek model and whatever the Word of God is teaching us in Deuteronomy 6, 7 to 9 and Ephesians 6, 4. It's time, we think, to revive some of these biblical concepts, the will of God that He has for us and for our children. Well, we're going to give some practical advice for homeschooling moms and dads today on this edition of the program. And before we get to Sherry McMinn, I just have only one thing to say on that, and that is basically this: keep it simple, keep your eye on the ball, and keep your eye on what's important. Don't be overwhelmed by thousands of expectations placed on you by the world. Just simply come back day by day and ask yourself the question, what does God want? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Go after what Jesus wants first, and all these other things will be added unto you. Just keep it simple, keep it straightforward, keep your eye on the ball, keep focused on the things that are important, and of course the thing that is important is what's important to Jesus. All right, so that's all I have to say. That's the only practical advice I have to say. But now Sherry McMinn joins us on the Generations program, no stranger to the program. She's a homeschooling mom, a veteran homeschooling mom. She's been through this program for, I'd say, 9 to 30 years. You'll have to clarify me on that one, Sherry. But she is also a media outreach coordinator with Christian Home Educators of Colorado. So, Sherry, welcome back. It's good to have you with us today on the program.
Kevin, it's always great to be with you and talk to you. And I just think that we've probably known each other for more than 20 years. That's a great thing to, as we age together, we still are friends.
So yes.
I'm glad to be here.
Yes. It's good to hang out with fellow veterans, so to speak. Sherry, when did you get started? Talk a little bit about your experience as a homeschooling mom.
Sure. My son, who is 33, when he was 8 years old, he was having some challenges in the very nice little public school that was in our neighborhood. And so we had a IEP meeting to discuss the fact that he was having struggles with reading and in math, but he was also highly gifted in other areas, and they wanted to figure out how to meet his needs. And ironically, the public school principal said, you know, there's this new thing called homeschooling, and we think you guys would be really good at it. And instead of us pulling him out for gifted and talented and struggling learners, or sending him to the very expensive private school that could help him, we think you guys should consider homeschooling. So my husband Kerry and I went home, and thankfully the internet had kind of just been introduced, and we started researching homeschooling, and we thought, boy, this just sounds right up our alley, you know, getting to be with our kids and being together and teaching them, you know, all the different facets of our life, and just really helping my son, who at that time was in second grade. And so we decided we would do that for a year and see how it went. And then we had a family tragedy. One of our children died. And I was so grateful that God had brought us home so that we could learn to cope with that together and just continue education day by day and minute by minute. And then by the time the next son was ready to enter kindergarten, we thought, oh, he'll never survive. He'll be in the principal's office all the time. So we just kept going with homeschooling. And I believe this is our 27th year. I have three teenagers still at home. And so in 2.5 years, I'll be out of my homeschool job.
Mm. And helping thousands and tens of thousands of others, no doubt, with this. It isn't amazing that so many are now schooling at home during the COVID-19 crisis. What's your thought, Sherry? Do you think any of these folks will say, hey, I like this, we're just going to stay with this?
Well, I certainly hope so. I encourage people to not look at COVID-19 stay-at-home orders as a burden, but as a blessing to regain the relationship with your family members. And, you know, there's a lot of kids right now who are doing public or private school at home on computer. And the American Academy of Pediatrics still holds to the fact that kids should only be on a screen no more than 2 hours a day, and that's up through age 18. So when children are on a computer for 4 hours doing schoolwork, they need to get off that computer and start doing real life, chores with their family, enjoying walks outside, taking care of animals, maybe having a home business, especially in springtime. People need yard cleaning and different things. There is so much more to learn than just reading text or graphics on a computer. Just like in homeschooling, I encourage people, don't just use books, but do hands-on learning too. And I think once people sort of let down their expectations of what education is and see that it's a holistic lifestyle, they'll really enjoy being with their family. Mm. You know, through the years, one of the things I've enjoyed most about my children is after lunch, we traditionally have gone outside to do some sort of exercise. And Kevin, I want you to know, I can still hit a home run in baseball. And it delights my kids that I can do that. Now, I do have to have a designated runner to do the bases for me. But education is just so much more than what everybody thinks it is. And whether you're doing hands-on kitchen science, whether you're learning a new hobby craft like woodworking or vehicle maintenance, or whether you're building a fort out in the backyard as a project, all of these things are time to build relationship with your children. and to encourage them in the ways of the Lord, that we should have joy, we should have steadfastness, we should be content in our circumstances, and we should love Christ and talk about Him and honor Him above all things.
But Cherry,
so I really hope that this is going to be a reset for the whole world in how families deal with each other.
But Cherry, you know, some people say they'll never be successful if we don't go, go, go. And if you get this slower pace of life, incorporating, you know, life integration, outdoor activities, board games, read alouds, you start doing this kind of stuff. You build relationships, you get involved in chores, you start life integrating learning, they'll never be successful. What do you say to that?
Well, I say you just have to look at my adult children, because they are very successful. Because first of all, they're just wonderful human beings. They have a good work ethic. They love the Lord. They are kind to one another and to strangers. They have charitable hearts, and they're really good at their jobs, whether they work for somebody or whether they're an entrepreneur or whether they're in the military. They are successful because they had a nurtured, idyllic childhood where they knew they were loved. They learned the three R's of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and they learned on their own to explore science and history and geography and animals and all the other things that exist in the universe which God created for us. And they are tremendously successful, and they're happy. And even though coronavirus is stressing us all, especially when it comes to employment, all of my adult children have good jobs, and they're just living well. And that is certainly a parent's hope, that your children grow up to know the Lord and to be happy and to lead productive lives. And I just think that is the ultimate success. As you and I have talked to before, it's not about getting to Harvard, it's about getting to heaven. And when you have a good relationship with your adult children, that is the fruit of your dedicated parenting when they were children.
Cherry, a lot of parents are busy, they're working at home, they just don't have time. How do you integrate, and I know you're a single parent, you're a widow, in God's providence, you're making a living yourself. How do you balance it all?
Well, I think all humans, adults and children, thrive when there is an expected routine. And I think people have to sit down and, as a family, discuss what are the priorities. Certainly, making money to pay for the house and the groceries is an important thing. And so work is a priority, but so is being together and helping your kids learn in their whatever education system you have for your family. So, for instance, in our home, I get up about 7:30 and I make coffee, read my Bible, get breakfast fixed, and everybody else comes and eats breakfast at 8:30. Then we sit together as a family and just talk about general things, maybe what we're going to do that day or the rest of the week. And most of the things right now are just at home. But today we have piano lessons via FaceTime, so we had to talk about that a little bit. And then the kids get going on their schoolwork. When they were little, I helped them with their schoolwork in the kitchen. And at that time, I did not have to work. My husband was still alive, and he was the breadwinner. But we did school in the morning at the kitchen table. Now my teenagers all just work in their bedrooms, and they have their doors open, so I can check on them. They each come out one at a time to do math, and so I help them with that at the kitchen table. And in between, I'm doing work on my computer for my income, and but I make time for them. And then again, we have lunch together, and one of them helps me fix lunch, and then we eat together, and then maybe we all go outside for a walk with the dogs or something, and then they continue working on their schoolwork while I do a little bit more of my work. And I'm always accessible. I usually always have my office door open, and they can just come and say, hey, I need help with this or that. They have been taught to be independent learners, so they embrace the learning for themselves now that they're all in high school. And I help them when they need help. I check their work, make sure it's done. And then I'm able to work probably 4 to 6 hours a day for my own income. And then, you know, in the evening we relax, maybe we go outside again, we have a farm, so we can go out and be with animals or take long walks, and we merge or a board game after supper and watch a movie, and then we head to bed. So ironically, COVID has not really affected us. We've had that same kind of schedule for quite a few years, but I think it takes the parents setting an example of, you know, we do these things at this time, and then we have family time together, and then there's individual time. And I think that if you have an expected daily routine, and then maybe Saturday everybody does chores together, and Sunday you can listen to church on the radio or via Zoom, and you can just be together. And I think as long as the parents pay attention to the kids in the morning and give them their time that they need, and if there's two parents, they certainly can trade off, which is very helpful. Then the kids are spending time with both mom and dad, and that's really, really beneficial. But if you're a single parent, I think you can get it done. And I think that single parents can go to work if they're still having an essential job, and that students can be left in the care of someone else, or as long as a child is 12 and they've been have received some babysitting training, I think it's totally fine for the 12-year-old to be in charge of a few of the children while the single parent goes to work and then comes back. I think there's ways you can work things out, and I have also encouraged single women that if they can find a roommate who's another single woman with kids, they can share taking care of the kids and going to work and homeschooling. And so I think with everything in life, there's priorities. And if it's your priority to provide your children with a Christian homeschool education, I really believe God will help you make it work out. He certainly has for me. And I think you just need to lay it at his feet and seek his wisdom. Certainly, if you're involved with a church, I think it would be very good to go talk to the elders and the deacons about how, as a single parent, you could make Christian homeschooling work for your family. And I'm so appreciative of Chuck hiring me as a widow to do different jobs, because that has really helped me be able to continue homeschooling. And I love the work, and it's really been a blessing to my family.
And as you've been a blessing to us, no question about it, Sherry. We love your work so much. Sherry, how do you balance between scheduling and flexibility in the homeschool? I know different strokes for different folks, so that's basic. But do you have anything kind of a, I don't know, measure for how much scheduling you want to do in your family?
Well, I think that's a good question, and I think it's a really important question. I think if you think about business or a church or a family, all of them do better with some expectations and structure. And I think when all members of the family are on board with the plan, and the plan is explained to them, and there's a benefit to each person for the plan, then they will come on board, and maybe not fully trusting at first, but eventually it will become a smooth running machine. And I can attest to the fact that, and you know, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but in my life I've had major tragedies and horrible things happen. But yet, our Christian faith and our homeschooling were the two steady factors that allowed us to get up every morning and just keep going. And of course, we got off schedule. We got off routine. Some days were totally shot, and we thought, well, nothing really got learned today except being patient with each other. But when you look back at how the years accumulate, you see such tremendous personal growth as a parent and tremendous growth in your children. And yes, we must be flexible because we're human beings who sin. There's tragedy that comes into our lives. We live in a toxic world. Right now, of course, we have a pandemic that is totally affecting all of us. But yet, if you have a default routine that you adhere to over the years, then it just keeps moving along despite all the ups and downs of life. I think one of the things we've really lost in our culture is good parenting. And I think good parenting means that a mom and a dad, or a single parent, if that's the situation, sets a framework for the family's lifestyle. I know that my wonderful parents, who, Kevin, you've met both of them, and they're still just thriving at 87 and 89, set a wonderful framework for my childhood, and that has caused me to be a very resilient person. So if we can get back to good, intentional parenting, where we like to spend time with our children, we want to spend time with our children, and we do it in a way that is structured yet flexible, then we can have loving relationships where we can forgive each other, we can learn from our mistakes, we can get up, and we can start all over again the next day. And I think that's the secret to family life, no matter what happens. And especially now, this is a time to reset what the parents think are the priorities in a family's life. And if there's marital conflict, then that's the first thing that needs to be worked on, because two parents need to be on the same page. Mom and dad need to treat each other with love and respect. They model that for their children, who then embrace love and respect for their parents. And you work together as a team. I really think that God created family as the central cog in all of society. And if we have families that are working together and the machine is smoothly functioning, then society at large will benefit from that. And instead of breaking down as we see it is now. So I think flexibility is a key, but I also think a mature approach of creating a family household where there's routine and expectations is a very important factor.
Sherry, let's talk about socialization during COVID-19. What sort of adjustments are you making, or should other families make? Perhaps you're a little unique in that you guys live on a farm, but what sort of adjustments might people make?
Well, we've had to make some adjustments, and instead of going into town a couple of days a week to do errands and piano lessons and go to the bank and then go to church on Sunday, we are staying home and only going into town about once every 10 days to get more fruit and milk, basically, at the store. We have everything else stockpiled. And but as I said, our wonderful piano teacher, who you know, Marcia.
Marcia, right.
She stepped up to technology, and she's doing, I guess, Skype piano lessons. And so the kids are seeing her on the phone doing Skype for piano. Our homeschool group has switched to a Zoom platform for meetings and for activity days, and that seems to be working well. I have encouraged my adult children to be texting and calling my teenagers, because I think that siblings are really the first line of relationships that need to be maintained in addition to the parent-child relationship. And so I see that that's happening more, which is really good. And then I think you can, as long as you're supervising the phone and technology situation, I think it's perfectly fine for more mature students to be able to reach out to their friends. I know my 17-year-old is a very social person, and he has been, you know, spending a lot of time talking with and texting and Snapchatting with his friends. But I also know he's usually very accountable and appropriate. And so that's one thing. So utilizing more technology. And then I think just old-fashioned talking on the phone is a really great thing. I do try to talk to my parents on a regular basis. And, you know, we can utilize the modern technology that we have that can bring us alongside each other, even though we have to be 6 feet apart. And it was really funny, because Sunday we just decided we all needed to get out of the house. And so we hopped in the van and drove about a two-hour drive away to an area that has some big rock outcropping buttes and some walking trails. And as we headed up over the last hill and down into the parking lot, there were like 60 cars there. And everybody else had the same idea. And we are creatures who desire relationship. And we do like to get outside and explore God's beautiful universe. And so I think, you know, you can work within your state or your nation's stay-at-home orders and do things wisely. I do want to encourage parents that the best socialization their kids can get is by being with their parents. I loved it when Mike Smith, probably 15 years ago, was speaking to a leadership group, homeschool leadership group, about homeschooling. And of course, he was one of the founders of Homeschool Legal Defense Association. And at that time, socialization was a big topic among media and groups and education about whether homeschoolers were properly socializing their children. And Mike made the most simple statement that I will always remember because it is so true and was so affirming. And he said, "You know, my kids are well socialized because they're with me and my wife." And I think that is exactly true. You know, socialization isn't about socialist political agenda. It's about teaching kids how to thrive in the family and in their personal relationships and their community circles and the world at large. And so when we teach our kids common courtesy, please and thank you, stand up when an older person enters the room, dress appropriately for the occasion, enjoy and have productive, meaningful conversation around the meal table, and just the things that make what I call a civilized society, you know, that is good socialization, and the place that starts is at home. When our kids are starting to crawl and they need correction because they shouldn't go near an electrical cord, and then when they become toddlers and they start making messes at the meal table and you correct them, and when they get older and you need to teach them hygiene for brushing their teeth and dressing appropriately, all of that is socialization. And the main part of socialization is, are we treating people like they're our brothers and sisters in Christ? And so, of course, the home is the center for socialization. And so it's great to try to regain all of that now during our COVID-19 stay-at-home orders, because we are together. So moms and dads should talk to each other respectfully and have fun together. They should do the same thing with the kids. And so they model good socialization, and then the kids can practice it and learn it. And then when everybody can go back outside again and go to Walmart or fly in an airplane, people will be properly socialized. And I think that's, you know, the root of it is home life.
Sherry, we're about out of time, but we want to be sure that people who are just starting out on the homeschooling journey have good resources. Of course, Christian Home Educators of Colorado provides a lot of resources, not just for Colorado, but in partnership with Generations, we get around the world. In fact, we probably are reaching about 100,000 families around the world right now with our homeschoolsummits.com. So would you recommend homeschoolsummits.com at this point?
Yes, I would, especially if you can jump on it right now today. We are offering a homeschool parenting summit, and it has great advice about how to be productively in relationship with your children. And that is the main thing right now that I think we're all facing with COVID is, how can I be with my kids 24/7 and make it really positive? So homeschoolsummits.com/parenting is definitely a place to go. It's free while it's going on this week. And then if you want to upgrade, you can pay a small fee to get the sessions archived. There's an exhibit hall with a lot of resources that people can buy if they want to get books or character Bible study printouts, things like that. And then the check.org website is really good, and I would especially encourage people to go there, chec.org, and at the top of the landing page, there's a bar that talks about COVID-19. If you click on that, then it'll bring up a page that talks further about the homeschool summits, but also gives you 102 ideas to keep children busy at home. And these are wonderful hands-on activities that the author, Christy Burton Brown, put together for people to use. You can download the PDF and then just start. It's about helping your kids know how to build blanket forts and do kitchen science experiments. Most things are done with things that you just have in your home, or you can order them, you know, online and have them delivered to you since you can't go to the store. And that's just a great, great resource. So check.org and then click on that top bar, COVID-19. But also, if you're interested in homeschooling, there's a tab that's called Getting Started, and you click on that. It'll talk a lot about the Colorado laws, but a lot of it applies to the whole world. And then HSLDA.org, which is the acronym for Homeschool Legal Defense Association, is a worldwide resource for homeschooling. And some of the site is membership restricted, but the general public can go and click on and get all kinds of information about homeschool regulations in countries, which nations HSLDA is now advocating to have good homeschool laws. For instance, Germany and Sweden, homeschooling is outlawed, and so they're always trying to work toward breaking that barrier. But throughout Africa, Asia, South America, there's a lot of countries now open to homeschooling, and HSLDA will provide you with information with that, as well as in the 50 states. So the three websites are homeschoolsummits.com, HSLDA.org, and check.org, and that'll be a great way to start. And with the wonder of the internet, we can find out a lot of things without leaving our home.
Very good. Well, friends, yes, check out these websites, homeschoolsummits.com, check.org, HSLDA.org, and also, of course, our website, generations.org, for curriculum choices for the Christian discipleship approach to home education. Today, our guest has been Sherry McMinn. She is Media Outreach Coordinator for Christian Home Educators of Colorado. She's been with CHECK for a long time, about as long as I have been with CHECK, something like 25 years. Sherry, it's been great. Thanks for joining us today on Generations.
Thank you for having me, Kevin. I really appreciate it.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.